My name is Lexi, and I'm 16 years old. Today is Sunday, November 29th, 2020, and I'm speaking with Veronica Schweitzer, who is my mom. We're recording this interview in Tucson, Arizona. Okay, starting off, I guess we'll just ask about where did you grow up and what was your childhood like?
I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area in a town called Newark. It's about 30 minutes south of San Francisco. I grew up with a brother, my two parents, who are still together to this day. I would say that I had a pretty privileged childhood as far as childhoods go. I went to private schools all throughout my life. Was fortunate to go on to college. I was pretty introverted as a child, so I wasn't very social until I got into high school. And I had a really good childhood. I had a home, nice home, always had food on the table, and both my parents worked. I guess you'd call us latchkey children to this day. But we had everything we needed.
So can you tell me why you liked, or did you like growing up in Newark, California?
Well, honestly, growing up in Newark, I really didn't have any idea of like what the rest of the world was like because I was a kid. But in hindsight, yeah, at the time it was a safe town. There are a lot of kids in my neighborhood. It was an upper middle class neighborhood. Knew all the police officers, you know, knew half of the town personally. It was kind of like a small town feel in a way. I wouldn't pick anything else. It was a great place to grow up.
So, can you tell me about one of your happiest memories?
One of my happiest memories, this is probably going to sound really kind of lame, but it was when I was 15 and I got my first car. I got my car at 15, but it sat in the driveway for a good 6 months before I was even able to drive it. But it was exciting. It was, you know, one of those, milestones in life. And I was just really, really excited about it because it was a nice car.
What kind of car was it?
It was a Honda Accord. And my parents had actually bought it for my brother, and he drove it for 3 years and then went off to college and wanted something flashier. So it was kind of a hand-me-down, but it was a really nice hand-me-down.
You mentioned that you went to private schools growing up, so how about you tell me more about that?
When I first started in school in first grade, I actually went to a Christian school. And then in sixth grade, I switched from Christian school to Catholic school, which is the religion that I was raised knowing. And then went from sixth grade on to Catholic school, and I hated it at the time, but my dad always really felt education was important. I hated wearing uniforms, but in hindsight, it was actually the best thing that that he could have done for his children, to send them to private school. Obviously, going to a Catholic school, Catholicism, or Christian school, Christianity, was a huge part of that. And so, you know, I basically was raised in that environment.
So what role did you think religion or spirituality ended up like playing in your life?
Well, one of the reasons why I went, well, all growing up, I had even when I went to the Christian school, I went to catechism. So my entire life from day one,
mm-hmm.
I was immersed in the Catholic religion.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Mass on Sundays, went to Spanish Mass with my grandma. and I think it played an important role. Just because it gave me an outlet that may seem kind of hard to explain, but I always felt like the church was a place I could go if I was ever in need or, you know, was feeling stressed out. I could go sit in church and pray and kind of calm myself down. I'm not so much practicing Catholic today. There's a lot of reasons behind that that I won't get into, but I think that it definitely left me with a sense of a higher being. I still pray. I still believe, not necessarily in a God, but you know that there's something higher out there. And so I do believe in all that.
Do you think your life would have played out differently if you didn't have religion in your life?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely think it would have played out different. My life would have played out differently because it's what helped me get through. Like when I went to college and I was really homesick, I went to school in Santa Barbara. And they had a beautiful mission there that the same may seem really corny, but when I was stressed out or homesick, I would literally just go sit in the mission and just, you know, look at the beauty and to be able to have something like that as an outlet to get me through trying times, I wouldn't have had if I didn't have a relationship with the church or with God or any of that. So, and then two, I hate to say it, but you know, the education that I got from the Catholic schools, I think definitely set me up for greater success than had I gone to a private or a public school. I think my life would have been a lot more different. I was definitely a child who needed to be kept in place. I was ornery. I thought I knew everything. I talked back, all that kind of stuff, and I really needed the structure and the discipline that came with both the Catholic school and religion. So yeah, I definitely would be a different human being, and I don't know that it would be as nice of a human being.
So I guess this kind of stems from the last question. How has your life been different than what you've imagined?
Well, I think the main thing, I mean, I went to college. I did all the things that you're supposed to do after college. I worked really hard. I you know, was a working professional woman in San Francisco and other places in the country, and had achieved, you know, high levels in the workforce. And honestly probably saw myself being that to this day. But then life kind of, I don't know if it threw me a curveball, but in a way it kind of threw me a curveball in that I had two amazing children who, once I had them, my career, my job no longer became important. And so now they're my everyday life. They're what I focus on. They're what I choose to focus on. Like when they come home from school or from sports or whatever, I want them to have a mom at home. And so I would say that's one way that my life is very different than what I had imagined it would be. But at the same time, I don't regret it.
So, what do you think your life's going to look like once your kids move out, go to college, you know?
That's going to be rough, because this has been who I am. I've been a mom for 16 years now. I don't know. I'm going to have to figure that out. I'm going to have to redefine what that looks like. You know, and that includes getting myself back out into the workforce. And what does that look like? Well, I don't know. But, you know, I'll get there when the time is right. You know, I might have more fur babies than I do now to kind of fill the void. You know, I might have to take a more active role in some of the things that I used to like doing that I don't do anymore. Get involved in, you know, doing crafts or I don't know. That's definitely going to be hard. I know I can still to this day remember, you know, when I flew the coop with my mom, and my mom was, you know, depressed for months because all of her babies were gone. And I know it's going to be tough, but I probably should start thinking about it now.
Okay, so what are you most proud have I asked you that yet? No, okay, good. What are you most proud of in your life, or like, what are you proudest of, either that you've accomplished or like you've seen? I don't know.
Probably a lot of things. One thing that I'll say is I'm proud that I'm a college graduate. Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah, and I say that because I had one teacher in particular in high school who told me, because I was that rambunctious and kind of naughty kid, I still got decent grades, but, you know, I'd do things I wasn't supposed to be doing. And he told me that I would never graduate from college. And so when I got my diploma from what I think is a pretty
Where did you attend college? Where did you get that diploma from?
I went to University of California at Santa Barbara. I think it's a pretty prestigious school. I felt a tremendous amount of pride for having achieved that, especially since Mr. Dorado, I still remember his name, told me that I would never graduate from college, and I did. My other achievements, my children are probably the two most things that I am the most proud of, just because they're mine and because they're both amazing human beings, good children, funny. I mean, I couldn't have asked for better kids. I'm proud of some of my professional achievements as well. You know, just some of the things that I've had the opportunity to work in. You know, not everybody gets to work in the defense industry, working with the military. That was a lot of fun. It was also incredibly interesting. And then the aviation industry as well. Those were two industries that I had the opportunity to work in before I decided to put my kids first. And so I'm proud of that. Yeah, that's basically the things I'm proud of.
I know you said at the beginning that, at least with this question, that one of your most like proudest, something that you're most proud of, was graduating college. And then you went in and talked about how one of your teachers said you would never graduate. Do you think you were like rambunctious, like in the eyes of anyone, or do you think that it was just because you went to such like a structured, like you were in such a structured environment?
I think that definitely structured environment had something to do with it. I mean, there were definitely strict rules, and I'm still to this day, I say what's on my mind. I I don't have a filter. I in high school, I would talk a lot. And then I would do other things that I shouldn't have been doing, that a lot of kids do. I'm not proud of it. And, you know, go to school, go into class, not exactly in a state of mind conducive to learning is the best way I can say it. So I think that all of those things had to do with why he made that comment. But I proved him wrong.
Okay, so kind of the opposite of the previous initial question. Do you have any, I guess, regrets or, like, what are you not so proud of?
Well, I do have regrets. And the one regret that I have, and I mean, I guess I'm not too old to do it to this day, but I do regret not going to law school. By the time I'd finished with my bachelor's degree, I was kind of done with school. But since that time, I've, for various personal matters, found myself having to advocate for myself in a courtroom without an attorney, and have done very well. You know, just researching the law and the cases and stuff like that, and have even had a couple jurists tell me that I should have gone to law school. So I definitely regret that, because it's just because of my nature, and the way I think. I think along those lines very well. I think I probably would have been a really good attorney, but I didn't.
So I know that the election, I guess it's still not really over. I don't know. But what advice would you give for a first-time voter?
For a first-time voter?
I guess you could just be, like, talking, like, to me, because I will be voting in the next election.
Yeah, well, the first thing I say is that I think it's important for everyone of voting age who's legally able to vote does so. But the thing that I don't like that a lot of people do is a lot of people are raised, say, in a Democrat family or a Republican family, and they go in there and they just simply mark Democratic candidates or Republican candidates down the ballot. And I think it's really important for people to not do that, to research the candidates, research their ideas, know what it is that they're...
Sorry about the loud dogs in the background.
Yeah.
They're not ours.
But anyway, to know the issues, to know how those issues will impact them personally. And don't feel like you have to vote a straight Republican ticket or a straight Democrat ticket. You know, there are some Democrats, for example, Tulsi Gabbard, who, you know, sticks out in my mind as being someone who's kind of not necessarily one way or the other.
Yeah.
She looks at the issues and she votes according to the issues. And sometimes she sides with the Republicans and sometimes she sides with the Democrats. And that's what I think voters should do, because you should be voting based on issues, not based on people or party affiliation. And just from having my degree in political science, I know that 70% of voters, that's what they do. They just simply check whether they're an R or D. They just check their R or check their D and call it a day. No, do the research, do the homework, know who you're voting for.
Yes, that's very good information. Okay, kind of going back to your childhood, or just like you in general, I guess, like out of all the family members you have either known or heard stories about, who do you think lived the most interesting life and why?
Well, I have a couple, actually. I don't know that they lived an interesting life. I just think they were interesting people. One is a cousin of mine who's actually younger than me, who kind of lives like this. I don't know. He lives in Alaska, and it's a really weird lifestyle. He's vegan, or I think that's what it's called, but like no animal products, period. His shoes are canvas. Like he's, you know, hardcore, like none of that. And, he spends his life, he will go back to Alaska, he will work. And while he's working for a new adventure, is basically what it is. And he's been all over the world backpacking and you know, he's been to Asia, he's been to Africa, he's been all over the place. And that's just his cycle. Is then when that's over, he comes home, he works some more, and then goes on to his next trip. And he does it all by himself. Like, he doesn't go with a group. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't have people taking him around. Like, he's just very adventurous and very independent and kind of crazy, you know, to be doing that in some of these countries that he does it. And then another person in my family was actually my aunt's husband, my grandmother's sister's husband. And I remember him as a kid. He's deceased now, but my memories of him as a kid, I was always fascinated with him. He was a professor at Stanford, and he taught romance languages. And the man could speak a million different languages, like languages like we'd never even heard of. And it'd be so cool because I'd ask him how to say things, like say blah blah blah, and you know, in this language, and he would say it, and he was fluent in all of these different languages, and I just found him so fascinating, and like just the, you know, where he came from. I mean, he was just not to sound like racist or anything, but he literally was just a young Mexican kid with nothing, you know, back in the day, and worked his way all the way up to Stanford, learned all these languages. His brain is like insane. And, you know, by the time I knew him, he's also very wealthy and definitely had some nice perks in life. But just to see where he came from like complete poverty to, you know, he had to have been born with that brain. Like, that's, I just don't think that's stuff you, and just anybody can learn. Like, he was just incredibly intelligent. And he was incredibly nice. And just a sweet, sweet man. But yeah, I found him very fascinating. And he was cute. Like, when I was little, he would take me on tours of the campus, because since he was a professor emeritus, he lived on campus. He had a house on Stanford's campus. And yeah, it was cool. He was such a cool guy. And I miss him.
Okay, so can you tell me about the person who has had the greatest influence on your life? And then, like, what lessons they taught you or instilled in you?
You're totally gonna make me cry. There's a lot of people who have instilled things in me in my life, but probably the most is my dad. Because my dad has been the one constant in my life. I mean, my mom too, but my dad's a little bit, my dad's a little bit more wise, I would guess I would say, than my mom. I don't want to make my mom sound bad, but he's just a really wise man. And
he's very well-spoken.
Yeah, very well-spoken, very intelligent. And he always has known, whenever I've gone to him for advice, he's always known what direction to send me or you know, give what advice to give me. And he's also been my protector to this day. To this day, I'm almost 50 years old and my dad is still my protector. My dad 100% has my back. And you know, there have been times in my life that have been hard, have been really hard, really, really hard. And my dad's always been there leading me the way. And, You know, there have even been times as an adult when I wasn't able to take care of myself. And my dad was right by there, right by me, right by my side. So definitely my dad. Because he's really honestly shown me unconditional love. You know, he's taught me things like to judge people based on their actions, not their words. You know, he's put a strong work ethic in me when I was in college and even after, always motivating me, always telling me I can do better. 'Cause you know, it's so easy for us to think, oh, I can't do any better than I'm doing. But really, he saw a lot of potential in me, so he'd motivate me and get me to do things outside my comfort zone, and then I would succeed at them. And so, yeah, my dad has been the most influential, just in the advice he gives, the things he says, the belief in me that he has.
Okay, now I'm going to go into some COVID-19 questions, I guess, because that's what we're living through right now. So, what has it been for you to live through this pandemic?
Well, I honestly don't know that it's affected my daily life that much. But early on, I know, because there was so much uncertainty, we didn't know anything about the virus, or how lethal it was. It was kind of scary at the beginning. And you know, I'd only wanted to go to the grocery store and was putting on hand sanitizer and wearing masks and that whole nine yards. And not wanting to go outside and be around other people. That's kind of changed now. And I don't know if it's just because we've kind of gotten used to this kind of lifestyle. But I don't have the same fear that I did when it first started. I mean, I think we know so much more about it now.
We're finally coming out of it or something.
And I think, you know, with improved medical treatments and therapeutics and whatnot, you know, it's really not the scary demon that it wants. I thought it once was. Although, if I'm being completely honest, I think I might have had COVID. But I'm not sure. Because yeah. I was really sick there before it became a big thing. But I'm here. That's what matters.
What memory of this, like, whole time period, I guess, so like back from when it first started to now and probably for a few more months at least, do you think will stick with you?
What memory will stick with me?
Yeah, or like what idea, or like, I don't know, like what, wherever you want to go with that.
Wherever I want to go with that?
Yeah. Like, what do you think will just stick with you the most from this time?
Well, I think, like, washing your hands and good hygiene, like, and using hand sanitizers, even after COVID's gone. I mean, I think it was a good habit to get into.
That's the memory.
Well, the memory will be, for me, and this is going to sound, some people aren't going to agree with this because some people have a different philosophy on it than I do, but my memory is going to be, this is the biggest medical hoax played on the American people in history, if I'm being honest, because I don't think, and I say that because I feel like we shut down our economy, and I think certain places definitely it's justified because there are so many positive COVID cases. But I just think that we failed to take into consideration other side effects of COVID. And that would be like the increase in suicides, the increase in drug use. I just think we managed it poorly, I guess, is what the big takeaway that I would have is that we didn't look at all the factors that were involved when we started implementing some of the restrictions that we did. And unfortunately, we lost people due to suicide and overdoses at a much more alarming rate. And those things should have been taken into consideration. And then, too, like the effect that it's having on our kids, you know, not being able to go to school and socialize. I think that we could have probably gotten back to that a little bit sooner. And I hear today, actually, Dr. Fauci saying kids should go back to school. So that's a huge, yeah, that's a huge switch from where we were 9 months ago. But again, that's another issue too, are those children, and you know, are they being taken care of at home, and the amount of abuse that goes on in the home because kids aren't at school, and the stress on the parents and the destroyed marriages. And I mean, it's just, it's such a bigger issue that we just failed to take all of it into consideration. And I think we kind of overreacted.
Do you think this experience has changed you in any way?
Well, like I said, you know, it's some of the little stuff like hand washing makes me realize how much more.
Sorry about that.
But so yeah, some of the hand washing things, the using hand sanitizer, you know, just being probably more cognizant of when I'm not feeling well going out in public. Cause even if it's a cold, like you can still give it to somebody. So being more aware of like how my actions might impact somebody else just in general. So like if I have a cold or if I have strep throat or whatever, like maybe I should stay inside and still until it's gone. But other than that, I mean, it's pretty amazing how a little virus can cause all this havoc.
Thank you for all of that. Do you have anything you would like to add?
I would like to add to the COVID. And mention one positive, and that's that I've had the opportunity to spend more time with my children, which sometimes that's not necessarily a good thing, but 99% of the time it is. And so that's been awesome too, to be able to be with my kids, spend more time with my kids. Because they're both going to be gone in a couple of years. Off to college.
Also, can you...
that sounded bad. I'm like, they're going to be gone. Like, what is she going to do with them?
I guess, can you talk about your, like, what you see me going off to do? Like, what you see in my future? What you think I'll end up doing? Me. What you think?
Oh, what I think you'll be doing. I think Lexi has a tremendous amount of potential, and I really think Lexi could do anything that she wants to do, that she sets her mind to. And I'd really like to see her go off and get into something like in the medical field, or not necessarily like a doctor or a nurse, although I think she'd make a great nurse. I would love to see her maybe get into dentistry, something along those lines. Lexi is very social, definitely an extrovert, unlike me. She's also incredibly intelligent, and I think sometimes her self-doubt gets her to question how far she can go or how smart she really is. But I'm expecting big things from this girl. I'm expecting a medical or dental career or something along those lines.
All right. I think that's it. Thank you.
You're welcome.